Okay, well, welcome to Gospel Baptist Church Wednesday night Bible study. Let's turn the Bible to 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings chapter 14, and we're going to continue on in our series through the Bible. And we're looking now at Judah. We've looked at Israel. So, what did we discuss so far? Well, Israel became a nation, and instead of being just a family, they, while in captivity over 400 years, they became a whole nation, and they were led by a theocratic rule for about 400 years after leaving Egypt, with God ruling them through Moses, Joshua, and then the judges. Then a monarchy was established, and Solomon ruled over a united kingdom of Israel for about 110 years. And then under Rehoboam, Solomon's son, the kingdom was divided. The northern kingdom of Israel was ruled by the 19 kings from 931 BC until its fall to Assyria in what year? What year did they fall? 722 BC. I don't know why I pressed that. That's when they gave it away. All right, so we're now in 1 Kings chapter 14, and we're now looking at the divided kingdom, okay? And now we're looking at Judah. So after Jeroboam led the northern 10 tribes to break away from Rehoboam in 931 BC, he was left with two tribes. What were the two tribes? Of the south. The clue is one was inside the other.
Judah
and? Benjamin. Yeah, okay, Benjamin. This became known as the southern kingdom of? Judah, okay. So the kingdom of Judah, okay, right? Israel is up north. This was the southern kingdom. And included with these two tribes were representatives of each of the other tribes who desired to remain faithful to worship at the temple in Jerusalem and who rejected the false god set up by Jeroboam. Now, 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 21 to 24, then we'll pray, then we'll get into our study. 1 Kings 14, verse 21 says, "And Rehoboam the son of Solomon reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves to every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." Ouch. That is quite the statement. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray you bless your word this evening. I pray you draw us close to you. Pray we learn some lessons as we read through the history of Judah. Lord, help us know where to park. Help us know what to discuss. Please help us draw attention to you. You're such a wonderful God. Thank you that you're the center of history. Lord God, even when people make discouraging decisions, you're still on the throne. In Jesus' precious name we pray to you. Amen. All right, so we've just read 1 Kings 14. Did Rehoboam learn from the mistake and the sins of his father? Yes or no?
No.
No, he didn't. Okay? So he continued in the sins of his father who caused Israel to be divided. Okay. Now, because of Solomon's excessively opulent lifestyle, what does opulent mean? What's opulent mean?
Expensive,
riches, okay? Okay? His opulent lifestyle mingled with idolatry. God had ordained the dividing of the kingdom and had taken 10 tribes away from the house of David. Instead of learning from his father's mistake, obviously, Rehoboam added to it, which was pretty bad, or added to those mistakes. During those 345 years of the history of the southern kingdom, Judah would experience 5 major revivals under their kings, which I think is pretty incredible, pretty impressive. And some of the kings would do evil, leading to God's discipline. Then God would send a king who did right, and they would see revival. All of the kings of Judah were directly descended from who? All the kings of Judah came from who? Through which line? David. Is that what you're saying? David. Okay. So as already mentioned in the book of 2 Chronicles, it contains the same history as the book of 1 and 2 Kings. Both 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles begin with the reign of which king? First Kings and Second Chronicles begin with the reign which came. Solomon, right? Just before him, right? Okay? So this lesson will highlight the scriptures from each of the books to demonstrate their compatibility. Now, the first king we're going to look at is King Asa, okay? So we are looking at 1 Kings 15 onwards, okay? Asa was the first king of Judah's, Asa was the first of Judah's kings to lead them into revival. I am glad that when we go through a real difficult time spiritually, God can raise up a man to bring his people into revival. I tell you, if there was ever a time we needed revival, it would be today. Would you agree with that statement?
Amen.
We need revival. His revival was only partial, though, however, because he did not remove the high places of false worship. Okay? Later, years later, under future kings, this led to compromise and idolatry. So from the earliest times, it was the custom among the heathen kings to erect altars and places of worship on lofty and conspicuous spots. And we've seen that in Ireland, you know, the Hill of Tara, okay?
Knock,
a conspicuous spot.
Shrine.
What was that?
Knock
shrine. So we see this, okay? So that was happening in pagan places.
Most towns would have a shrine, wouldn't it?
What was that?
Most towns would have
there
a shrine.
There you go. Absolutely. So we can relate to this. So the Israelites did that as well. And they were commanded to completely destroy those high places. So imagine they came in and they said, okay, New Grange has to be completely wiped out. The historic society would be up in arms about that one. But that's exactly the type of thing that had to be done. And the groves. Okay, so they had high places, they had groves of the Canaanites. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Verse 11 to 14. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 11 to 14. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, ye and your sons and your daughters, and your manservants and your maidservants, and the Levites within your gates. Okay, and I'm trying to remember. Deuteronomy 12, verse 11 to 14. Okay, verse 13. Yes, here we are. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offering in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in thy tribes. There thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings. And there, okay, they were not allowed to make those offerings on the high places or in the groves. Now, Solomon started to do that, okay? So that compromise began in his day. The repeated failure of Judah's kings to eliminate the high places led to recurring idolatry throughout Judah's history. And you know, there's a lesson there for us. If you make provision for sin, you're going to fall into sin. If you're trying to overcome alcohol addiction and you keep walking past a pub, what's eventually going to happen? Do you know?
It's just like going to the barber,
isn't it?
You're going to hang around the barber, you're going to get a haircut.
Yeah. Going to hear all the gossip, yeah? But the point is, you don't walk into a place of temptation. And so they did not deal with the temptation. The temptation was always there. Those high places, look, they were, okay, they say, but we're not using the high places. It doesn't matter. If the high places are there, you're going to fall. And there is, you know, brethren, I think there's a time where we just need to start doing cleanup shop in our lives. Go through our lives, go through things and say, okay, what needs to be removed from my home? What needs to be removed from my life? What needs to be removed from my environment? Anything that's going to cause me to stumble, let it go. Put it away. Because stuff like that, well, if you don't put it away, it's a slippery slope, isn't it? Back to the old life.
You keep looking at it.
You keep looking at it, exactly. It's like the fellow who's trying to give up cigarettes. He had the pack there. He says, it's just because I get tempted. You know? Hard to believe people do that, but it does happen. All right. So, we're looking at Asa this evening. His revival was limited. We mentioned that already. Then, Asa was the grandson of Rehoboam. He ruled from 911 to 870 BC. And among his accomplishments were, he accomplished three major things. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 3. Does somebody want to read that? We're in 1 Kings. 2 Chronicles. I'm in the wrong section. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Let's go there. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 3. Does somebody want to read that? It's this evening. What did Asa do?
For he took away the altars of strange gods and the high places and break down the images and put down the groves.
So he destroyed the high places, he destroyed the groves. That was a good thing, right? That was one major accomplishment. That was like part of the revival of Asa. What else did he do? 2 Chronicles 15, verse 12. Who wants to read that for me?
I'll read it. 15.
15, verse 12, yeah.
And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul.
So the first thing is that he put away the strange gods. Secondly, he made a covenant with the people of God. This is what we're going to do. Okay? This is what we're going to do. There was a commitment. You know, some churches have a church covenant. I know in the past people have not wanted that because they said, I want to promise something I can't do. But you know what? It's a good thing to have a commitment where people say, you know what? I'm signing up to this. This is the way I'm going to live. I'm dedicating my life to do this. And it's like not like they lived it perfectly, but there was a heart engagement where they said, I want to do this. I want to give myself to God. I want God. And I'm actually planning a message on Sunday to talk about, you know, surrender. Complete surrender to the Lord. Because every Christian needs to come to a place of surrender to God. Would you agree with that? And you know, that is the basis of revival. Putting away strange gods, making a covenant with God. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 16. This is a tough one. Who wants to read that? 2 Chronicles 15, verse 16. Okay, go ahead, Anne. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 16.
And also concerning Micah, the mother of Asa, the king, who removed her from being queen. Because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her grove, stamped it, and burnt it at the Brook Kidron.
Wow, the Brook Kidron is a little brook, little river going around Jerusalem, okay? So he destroyed the idol, put it in the river going around Jerusalem, okay? And whose idol did he destroy? His own mother. Wow. You know what? That tells me something about Asa. Asa put God before man. And I want to tell you something, folks. God requires us to put him first. And God will test us to see, will we put him first or will we put our family first? Give me a scripture that says God wants to be first in our lives.
Can you say it again, sorry?
Give me a scripture that tells us that God wants to be first in our lives. Okay, that's a good one. Absolutely, that's a good one.
Abraham.
Genesis 22.
Yeah, although he didn't want to. Probably didn't want to himself. Right. But he came up to that mountain. Just me.
But seriously, he proved he was putting God before family. Is there another scripture we can think of? That's good. Somebody else.
The scripture where the disciples, or the guy tries to come and say, let me bury my...
Yeah. Yeah.
No
man putting his hands on the plow. Looking back is good for the kingdom of God. That's another good one. Is there another fundamental verse in the Bible? These are great ones. Anyone else a fundamental verse?
He does not hate his mother and father, brothers.
Yeah, that's another pretty similar to what this is saying. That's a pretty similar one. But is there another one? These are good, all good. How about the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, it's just
absolutely, yeah, that's a fundamental one, isn't it? So what the examples you're telling me are based on the Ten Commandments. Now, I know Abraham came first before the Ten Commandments, but really, they're based on the Ten Commandments. God wants to be first in our lives, okay? And so Asa messed up later on in his reign, but I want to tell you something. He really did put God first, didn't he? Put God first before his own mother. That's pretty impressive, okay? All right. During his reign, many more people, that because he put... I want to tell you something. When you put God first in your life, God's going to bless your life. When you put God first in your life, he is going to... You're going to gain the right people to your side. We're going to talk about that in Sunday school class with Jonathan. Jonathan put God first in his life, and his armor bearer had as much faith as Jonathan did. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where Saul was surrounded by faithless men, and he was with Eli's sons. Like, who wants Eli's son, to be honest with you, to be on your side? I'd rather have Samuel. You understand? But during his reign, many more people from the northern kingdom moved into the southern kingdom, when they saw who was with Asa. Who? Who was with Asa? Well,
sorry.
I suppose you don't have the verse, Mr. Lord. Yeah, I know. I know, I'm asking to fill in the blank. You don't have a 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 9. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 9. I'm setting you up for a fall there. I'm like,
I'm trying to think of the story.
Yeah, I know. It was too difficult a question. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 9. Why don't you read that, Lizzie, and then you can answer it. Okay, so read the verse 9.
Verse 9. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel's abundance when they saw that the Lord was with them.
I tell you, when you step out by faith and you do things like what Asa did, put away the altar of the strange gods. You set your heart to seek the Lord. And you encourage people to make a covenant with God, to seek the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul. And even show people you're putting God first, even before your own family. When your family's not doing right, and you're saying, you know what, my family won't do right, I'm not with them. I'm with the Lord. When you're forced to make a choice, you're going to gather godly people around you, just like Asa did. Praise the Lord. Okay, so during his reign he saw that. Now, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. So we see a mixed situation here, 2 Chronicles chapter 14. I remember teaching the Sunday school class on this, and it's about the Ethiopians. And I'll read it first and then I'll tell you the story. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 9. 2 Chronicles 14, verse 9. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000 and 300 chariots. Okay, that's a million. Okay, a million, that's a lot of people. A million Ethiopians, okay, and their armies. And they came unto Marishah. When Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephath of Marishah, and Asa cried unto who? Who did he cry unto? Verse 11. The Lord his God, and said, Lord, there's nothing with thee to help, whether there be many or with them that have no power. Yet help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. Do you think God's going to hear a prayer like that? Absolutely. We look at verse 13. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord, before his host, and they're carried away very much spoil. And they won a major victory. I remember teaching on this in a Sunday school class in a church in Chicago. And there was an Ethiopian girl sitting there. And she couldn't believe that her country was in the Bible. And she got asked lots of questions, and my wife led her to the Lord. So that's a very special passage there. And because I'd forgotten about it, and I visited church, and they said, and the pastor reminded me, you know, the girl got saved in the class, because obviously she must have joined the church. But you know, that was pretty neat. But the point is this, when you take a stand for the Lord, God will bless you. And these are the things that Asa did. He saw revival. It was limited though, because he didn't take away all the high places. He had three major accomplishments. He cast away the strange gods. He led the people in a covenant to seek the Lord. He put away his mother from being queen because she was an idolater. And then people from the southern kingdom, or the northern kingdom, came down to the southern kingdom in their droves because they saw the Lord was with them. And we need men who people can see God is with them. But also, he gained the loyalty, as we said, from the northerners. But also, he trusted God in battle. I'd love to say that's the way Asa lived his life, and that's how he ended his life. When you read through the first portion of Asa's life, it was amazing. But it's not how you start, it's... Finish well, folks. Finish well. Don't lean on the past. Finish well, okay? Continue on in the faith. 2 Chronicles 16. Bit of a disappointment here. I wish Asa had finished well, but unfortunately it didn't happen that way. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 1, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, so it's the northern kingdom coming against the southern kingdom, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. And Asa, what did he do? He brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee. Now, hold on a second here. What was he thinking? what was he thinking? The Ethiopians came against him and Asa called on the Lord. He didn't look to man. How come years later, when the king of the northern kingdom of Israel came against him, why didn't he do the same thing? Why didn't he call upon the Lord? What happened? What do you think happened there, folks?
He allowed fear to conquer his faith.
He allowed fear to conquer his faith, yeah. Wasn't good, was it, folks? Wasn't good. And instead of relying on the Lord, he relied on A, the Lord, but we know that's not the case. B, the king of Syria. C, his army. Or D, Baal. Who do you rely on? A, B, C, or D? A, the Lord. B, the king of Syria. C, his army. D, Baal. B, king of Syria. Okay. Look at verse 4. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon and Dan and these different places. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, he left off building at Ramah, let the work to cease. Asa said, great, I'll take all your materials. And he carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber wherewith Baasha was building. And he built Geba and Mizpah. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. So two things went wrong there. Number one, they lost money because they had to pay for the king of Syria to help them. Number two, they missed an opportunity to overcome the Syrians. So there's multiple things happening here. Verse 8, he reminded them, we're not the Ethiopians and the Lubans, a large host with very many chariots and horsemen. Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them out of thine hand. And here's the logic. How come we can rely on God in the past, but we can't rely on him in the present? I mean, brethren, when hard times come our way, how do we... Let me ask a question. How do we avoid the error of Asa? Instead of relying on the arm of the flesh, how can we always rely on the Lord? How can we practically do that?
Just stay in the Word.
Stay in the Word. Okay, good. Stay in the Bible. Obviously, he must have gotten out of the Bible somehow, right? Somebody else? How can we avoid the error of Asa?
You need to look to God for strength.
Okay.
In every step.
Every step. Not just first steps, but every step. Good. Somebody else? You know, I think we should spend more time counting victories. Yeah. Now, we don't want to live in the past. I understand that. But when we spend time praising God for our victories, then when challenges come our way, we remember the victories and we say, if God could help me back then, God can help me now. How many of you have had testimonies of that where you say, you know what? God helped me before. I know he'll help me again. And he helped you again. Amen. So we've got to just remember to rely on the Lord. Look at verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. God was testing Asa. God wanted to show himself strong on behalf of Asa. God wanted Asa to have that victory. He didn't want Asa to live in defeat. He wanted him to trust the Lord. It was like, Asa, you trusted me with the Ethiopians, with those million Ethiopians. The Baasha didn't have a million people against them. I don't know how many there was, but there was lots, I suppose. But if you could trust, but the Lord was saying, if you could trust me with Ethiopia, can't you trust me with Israel? And so God wanted to show himself strong on behalf. But and then it says, here and thou hast done foolishly, and henceforth thou shalt have wars. Friends, there's always consequences. It was like in the devotional I put out this morning. There's always consequences for every decision we make. So if we make good decisions, the consequences will be
good.
If we make poor decisions, then the consequences will be bad. We don't want that. Okay, we want the blessing of God upon our lives. And I want to tell you, God wants to bless us. So So Asa, first of all, trusted in God in battle, but then he didn't after that. So that is King Asa. We have a few more minutes, so let's move on to the next king. So these were five revivals. The first revival was under King Asa. Might have a test at the end and see what you remember. The second revival was under King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat is one of my favorite kings. Okay? And but unfortunately, he made some serious errors that would have... He would have been a great, great king, but he just let some things go, which he shouldn't have. But anyway, 2 Chronicles chapter 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 3. Who wants to read that for me, please?
And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam.
So who was Jehoshaphat compared with? When you said David, right?
Sorry, would you ask?
Yeah, who Jehoshaphat was compared with?
David.
Yeah. He's compared with David. Now that's powerful. That's quite a testimony, okay? Compared, like if somebody was looking at your life and they said, you know, ladies, you just remind me of Ruth in the Bible. What would you think about that? Yeah. Or you remind me of Esther in the Bible. You know, or you remind me of Elizabeth. Now, I'm not talking about the age of Elizabeth, but the faith of Elizabeth, okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, those are encouraging things. So Jehoshaphat was compared with David. That's quite a recommendation. That's quite a commendation. You with me here? Okay, so he was the son of Asa. He ruled from 873 to 848 BC, and he was compared favorably with David. In 2 Chronicles 17, verse 6, what did he do? Somebody read verse 6 for me.
His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves in Judah.
Now, if your heart's going to be lifted up, let it be lifted up in the ways of the Lord. We don't want our heart lifted up with pride, right? But our hearts do get lifted up. But let's lift them up in the right way. I love that phrase, lifted up in the way of the Lord. I think it's a wonderful phrase, okay? So he was lifted up in the ways of the Lord and said, what did he take away out of Judah?
Groves,
high places and groves. What did Asa not take away from Judah? Asa didn't take away the high places and the groves. Jehoshaphat did. That's why he's one of my favorite kings. Because he did the hard things. Now imagine, laws are passed in Ireland and the liberal left love them. Then another leader comes along who has a fear of the Lord, and he starts trying to reverse the laws. What type of response is he going to get from the people of the land? It's going to get a massive backlash, right? Have you seen a country in the Western world, where the leader comes and starts changing laws and there's a massive backlash and everybody hates him? Do you understand what I'm saying? So the reason why I'm bringing this up is Jehoshaphat would not have been popular for reversing somebody's laws because he would have made a lot of people angry. You with me here? But back then, the king, as the monarch, was in charge of everything. And so it's not like the people could, I suppose they could always assassinate him. I understand that. But they couldn't do anything about it. You understand? 2 Chronicles chapter 17. So we're looking at the caliber of this man. I'm impressed by Jehoshaphat. Look at verse 7 to 9. It says here, verse 7. And in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail, and to Obadiah, and to Zechariah, and to Nathaniel, and to Micaiah, to teach the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites unto Shemaiah, and Nethaniah, and Zebadiah, and Asahel, and all these names. Yeah, and Elishama, and Jehoram priests, okay? And they taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout the cities of Judah, and taught the people. Why did he teach the people, folks? What was the purpose of teaching people the word of God?
So that they'd be with him.
Right, so they'd be with him. Good. Why else? Why else teach the people the word of God?
Instill
in their hearts so they wouldn't go back. He didn't want... If you're going to remove the high places, you can't leave a vacuum. You leave a vacuum, people go right back to their sin. That's why we can't, as parents, and I can't, as a pastor, can't say, you shouldn't do that, you don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do this, okay? Then, oh, your church is just, you can't do, or our home is all the things we can't do. No. In other words, we say, you don't want to do that, but you want to do this instead. called replacement. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he was replacing their wickedness with righteousness. So if you're going to change laws back to righteousness, you better teach people why. So they don't want to go back to the old bad laws. Does that make sense? That works. That should work in our home, in our country, in our church, etc., etc., etc. Okay, now. All right, so Jehoshaphat's reign, okay, I'll talk about that in a second. But unfortunately, as much as I really love Jehoshaphat in the Bible, he made a serious mistake. Does anybody know what he did?
Yeah, he teamed up with King Ahab.
He teamed up with King Ahab. That was a serious mistake. His biggest mistake in his reign, Jehoshaphat joined together with wicked King Ahab to fight against the Syrians in Ramoth Gilead. 2 Kings 18, verse 3. Do you want to read that for me? 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 3.
Then the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wouldst thou go with thee to Ramoth Gilead? He answered, I am as thou art, as my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the way.
And that's a mistake. Because Jehoshaphat was not as Ahab was. Ahab was wicked. Jehoshaphat was godly, righteous. Okay? Jehoshaphat's reign coincided with Ahab's reign over Israel. He was not only joined with Ahab in battle against the Syrians, but he also allowed his son Jehoram to marry Ahab's wicked daughter Athaliah. Ever heard of Athaliah? Bad woman. She would eventually reign over Judah for 6 years. In joining with wicked Ahab, Jehoshaphat violated God's timeless principle. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, okay? Although Jehoshaphat removed the high places and groves out of Judah, apparently he did not eliminate all of them. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 33. Let me just read that quickly. It says here, howbeit the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. So there were still some there. His alliance with Ahab nearly led to his death. That 2 Chronicles 18, verse 28 to 31, we won't read that for time's sake. Do you remember the war? They went to Ramoth Gilead, okay? And remember, Jehoshaphat dressed up and they sort of switched places? Do you remember that? Okay, anyway, even after being warned against this by which prophet? One of my favorite prophets is, prophets, do you remember the prophet's name?
Micaiah.
Do you remember Ahab said, or sorry, Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet here besides, a prophet of the Lord here besides your 450 false prophets? He didn't say false prophets. He said, is there not a prophet of the Lord here besides? And Ahab says, yes, there is, but I hate him. And if Ahab says, I hate Micaiah, that tells me he was a man of God. He was here. Yes. Okay, is that
Verse 7, chapter 17.
Zechariah. Do you know? It may or not have been, because Micaiah was in the northern kingdom, okay? And Jehoshaphat was in the southern kingdom, so I don't know. I don't know. It may have been just have the same name, so I wouldn't go as far as say it was the same prophet, okay? So later, that's Jehoshaphat, would repeat this mistake by joining himself with Ahab's son, Ahaziah. So he, the same thing again, and that was to work with ships, you know, but he clearly violated the biblical principle mentioned above. But you know what, it just tells me, there are godly people who make big mistakes. Do you understand what I'm saying? We all have feet of clay. Can I just say this? Let's be a little bit more gracious towards people who make big mistakes. Do you understand what I'm saying? And try to see the good parts. You can't agree with what they did. There's no way you can agree with what Jehoshaphat did by marrying his son off to Ahab's daughter. We agree with that, right? There's no way you can justify that. But I think we can agree that apart from that major issue in his life, which is major, he was a good king and a godly king. It's just unfortunately this was a serious issue that we shouldn't have done. Okay, let me just see for time's sake. Maybe we'll wrap it up there and we can get into the other next week. Any questions on this? Is there a question? Okay. Well, let's close in prayer and then we'll go to prayer.